Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
It's always a good place to go. When you don't know what you're going to do, like I said, just peruse our website.
You know, my question could be answered easily on our website of when does turkey start? Just in case anybody else is wondering.
I don't want to answer that because we're broadcast in...
in many different locations.
Five states now, I think it is.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I know. Isn't it awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Or scary?
A little bit of both.
There is
that. That's all right.
KALAMAZOO.
Mm-hmm. Michigan. So we got Minnesota,
peer
Michigan.
Peer pressure.
South Dakota. Do we have Wisconsin?
I think we partially
Green Bay?
I believe we get into Wisconsin. Yeah, uh-huh. For sure. I probably think we're getting into Iowa, but of course with the podcast, we're going global.
Mm-hmm. We're a few places in Minnesota too, St. Cloud and Winona as well.
Yeah, we're out in, I think, Redwood Falls. And,
did you know that I did radio out in South Dakota?
No, I did not. Where?
Yeah, for a year and a half. Rapid.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Loved it out there. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
spot. One of my favorite
places. Mm-hmm. Favorite places of all time. Well, of course, this year would not be jumping into stories. This year would, of course, this show / this time of year, I would be remiss if I didn't kind of close out my favorite thing.
Well, you might as well do it now without Don Cleaver here too, because then you can just talk about it and not feel like.
But it's a big story. I have to admit. I mean,
and it's local.
It is part of it's
part
local.
Part of it. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. So number one story, big story, kind of cool in the athletic / the ski world. Mikayla Shiffrin, one of my all time faves. She just won her 60th. Slalom win and 97th win overall.
My goodness.
And that's not been done before.
How old is she now?
20.
She's still in her 20s?
9, I think. But most important thing here, yep, 29. Just turned 29.
Nice. Yep.
Now, here's the big thing. She just came off of a major, major injury. And it was a knee injury. She had strained or stretched knee ligament and another part of her knee as well. She's won 9 of 21 races this year. Amazing. She also, her boyfriend was also significantly hurt, like a life and death type injury that he had, and really makes it kind of that much more special. She won their first race back and then won the second one. So the last two races of the year, she came back from injury and won both of them.
Nice.
And
what happened to her boyfriend? Was it a skiing thing or was it a
crash?
It wasn't a
car
crash.
One of the biggest things in the tour this year has been the number of top skiers that have been hurt in, and I mean major hurt in crashes. And they're taking a look at what they can do there. Now go to the local story. Big deal. Since we also talked about having, they had the Minneapolis cross country event for a World Cup here out at Theater Worth. It was a pretty big event. And Jesse Diggins has now won the overall World Cup title in cross country skiing. And with the recent win on the 20K freestyle mass start, that's the craziest thing ever. When you mass start, everybody takes off at the same time. It can be such a tangled mess. It's pretty crazy, but
isn't that half the fun though? The chaos.
Yeah, you used to do that with fishing tournaments. If you
oh
can imagine.
Gosh,
everybody hammer the throttle and you just hope somebody's faster.
How do they do it now?
By number.
Gotcha.
One, okay. One. You just go by your number, so nobody gets hurt. Jesse Diggins, her historic World Cup season included 6 wins, 12 podiums, which means she was first, second, or third, and a team relay podium and a Tour de Ski overall, which is a big deal. She won the overall in 2021, and she was the first American to win. She is now the first American to win 2 World Cup cross-country skiing overall crowns. Bill Koch was the only other one to win a World Cup overall He took the title in 1982, and pretty cool. She was battling this last summer in training. She was battling an eating disorder, and she was pretty vocal about it, and pretty cool. She came back from that and was successful. Anchorage, Alaska, Rosie Brennan, who finished 10th on Sunday, had five individual podiums herself. And also Sophia Locally also had a win for Team USA. Men had unprecedented success. First time in history, three American men took podiums in the Schumacher, Schumacher, and Ben Ogden. This year all had podiums. And, I mean, that's just pretty doggone amazing, I have to say. completely shifting gears. Have you ever slept on a beach before?
No.
Okay. It's the coolest thing ever. It really is. So we were out doing ski training this summer when I was coaching out at Mount Hood. And we'd take three-day break with the junior racers. We go to the coast and we do training on the beach. We'd run and then we'd take them out, do some deep sea bass fishing, whatever else. Anyway, so there was a bunch of us coaches. We all decided, well, let's sleep on the beach. It's pretty cool. It's a nice clear night. And that was out in Oregon, excuse me, right in Nehalem. It's called Nehalem. And I happen to have a Gore-Tex bag and everybody else did. I don't know what they had, but I wake up in the morning, my bag is just soaked. And of course, half the other people, they hadn't slept because their bag was drenched. They were just soggy and everything else. But point come to here is it's an experience. I think it's just a really cool experience just to see the stars and fall asleep on the beach. It's really cool. Well, this is why I do, for the most part, like the Midwest, because for the most part, people are pretty conscious of cleaning up after themselves and doing that. But in the story, overnight camping at California Beach is banned thanks to an excess of human waste. You believe that?
Really?
Yep. Overnight camping in the beach in the Central Coast is banned because of that. The Central Coast Commission announced Thursday the overnight camping and campfires will be banned at the beach for the next 2 years. It's located near Highway 1 near San Luis Obispo County, about an hour drive south of San Francisco. It's the only free beach campsite in the Big Sur area, and in fact, it's not widely known until recently. They detail deteriorating quality of the beach in a staff report made available. The report noted that more visitors frequented the campsite once word spread it was free. Lack of resources for U.S. Forest Service to monitor the site and a lack of trash cans, restrooms, and fire rings led to a higher level of trash debris, etc. The beach has no restrooms, very limited parking, no potable water, and no trash containers or collection. And the area is home to a number of endangered animals, such as the western snow plover, which may have been harmed by the beach's deteriorating conditions. While the ban is in effect, U.S. Forest Service will devise a plan to reset and figure out a way to allow camping in the future. Day use is still available. Okay, so that's just...
People, man. I know.
If it's free, abuse it.
That seems to be the mindset.
You know, I don't get it. It's a little frustrating. In my mind, it's beyond the frustration level. So, anyway, keep that in mind this summer. When you guys go out to a park...
Just be respectful.
Whether you're going to go have a campsite or a shore lunch, or you're going to go on a campsite and park it for 3-4 days, just be aware of that. It just makes you frustrated. So I mentioned I was going to go on a soapbox.
Yeah, you've got 9 minutes to get it all.
I got a 9-minute soapbox? Sweet.
I'm keeping track here.
Me, it's all about me.
Hey, it is your show, so please proceed.
Okay, here we go. So last week we talked about Mille Lacs. I was going to have Tony Roach on this week.
He
is not feeling well after the sports show. You know, you meet so many people, you're bound to catch something. He's got a cold, so no, he sounded a little horrible.
Not good radio.
No, it wasn't being good radio. So Or it could have been really good radio, depending on how you look at it. So the thing that was brought up was they're looking at, and they have reduced the walleye to catch and release only all the way through till mid-August.
Ooh, okay.
And the reason they say is because of forage, right?
Sure.
Meaning bait fish are not there.
Right.
Okay. So, and they said there was an excess amount of harvest. So that I pondered that. I listened to last week's show, and I didn't really emphasize it enough. The fact that you had a 90% reduction in business in that whole area. And that's from the people that are that own resorts and own businesses and everything else.
And they know how many people.
And you've got businesses that are there that have been, they're impacted to a whole different level.
Right. And they know who's been on the lake.
And not.
Yeah.
And then we have the DNR that has, I have to think of the appropriate word, the gall. I was going to use a different word, but
the guts,
the cojones to tell us that they had an abnormally high catch rate in winter. I squeaked. Sorry. In winter. That's ridiculous. Okay. Now let's put that just aside for a second. The claim is there's not enough forage. There's too many fish that were caught. We're not going to allow any fish to be taken at all. Zero.
Yep.
Okay.
Catch and release.
From the opener all the way through the 16th of August. Now, Wisconsin, now they're saying the same thing, except they're not using the same quote-unquote reasonings. When I thought this was all scientific, excuse me, but there isn't a real line or a wall or a ocean between us and Wisconsin. Last time I checked. You can pretty much readily drive across the river, right? There's a bridge or two that goes, joins, you know? And at some points, it's not even a river. It just kind of blends. You don't know if you're in Wisconsin or Minnesota, except for the signs.
Right.
Okay. I say that for a specific reason. They say that they're limiting in Wisconsin now. They're saying that they're limiting walleye or going to reduce the harvest because the species is struggling to adapt to sporadic warming winters due to climate change.
Okay.
And they're saying, and this is, okay, this is a study that was done out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Center for Limnology, and it was put on WPR's morning show. Now, the problem I have with a lot of this stuff, the study is either flawed, and I'm not saying this one is, but it's either flawed, inconclusive, or they don't understand the actual source that they're dealing with as far as the fish go. This is the only reason I'm saying this. Don't take me wrong. There's a lot of smart people out there smarter than me for sure. I'm not even ranking in that level. But there's thoughts we have to think about. Here's the reason. The quote says, when thinking about how to deal with climate change, let's control the things we can control. It's hard to control the amount of carbon in your atmosphere if you're at a lake, but when you're fishing on your lake, you control how many fish you keep, or you can manage the spawning habitat. They called walleye one of the best studied fish in the state. So they think it's one of the best fish the first fish they've studied. It's the most studied fish. And they co-authored, and they said that the increasing unpredictability of Wisconsin's winters and the warming climate are threatening the survival of young walleye in many Midwestern lakes. On the show, the question was that came up, it said, climatology office says this is likely to be the warmest winter ever recorded in Wisconsin. Why are the walleye under stress? This is the crazy part about this, that we have two states that are right next to each other. One state has one thing to say. Another one has a completely different state. It's not even in the realm of the same situation. Walleye spawn's been historically pretty tightly linked to when the ice melts off the lake or ice off. We think that for that reason, it's because the spawning to time the hatching of their young are to be around when there's food availability. Meaning, when this fish happens, it's not far after ice off. There's a given time, and therefore, a lot of different things happen because there's more light that comes into the lake, etc. Ice off triggers a series of events where you get algae, zooplankton production, where there are little tiny crustaceans that feed baby fish. The baby fish hatch, and there's zooplankton around to eat. Because we're getting more extremely early and extremely late ice off years, we think all of those events are coming out of sync. Now, these baby fish are hatchling in a really early the year. They're actually hatching in the missed time for the zooplankton food, and they don't have enough food to survive and grow. That's going to hurt the ability of the walleye populations to produce the next generation of fish. Okay? So, it says here we're getting more very extremely early and extremely late ice off years.
What?
See, that's my whole point. They're edging both sides against the metal. But the biggest piece of this comes in where you're claiming that you're moving Green Bay walleye, for example. It used to be 5, now they're moving it to 3. And they're saying that's the issue. And they're saying walleye spawning's not changing nearly as fast as ice off. Over time, they're starting to fall behind the pace of climate change and the pace of our changing springs. Well, I don't know about you, but last year and a couple, 3-4 years before that, the ice off was late. In fact, we were worried about even being able to get on the ice. And we were talking to Chris Granrud up at Lake of the Woods or Rainy Lake. I mean, they were flooded and they had ice and they had everything else under the sun. So really what it comes down to is, they said, is there anything people can do to help protect spawning walleye? The things you can control: how to use the land on the edge of your lakes to promote water quality, protect spawning habitat, follow harvest regulations. There are a lot of things you can do to control and to boost resiliency of walleye and climate change. There's more difficult control at the local level, and controlling invasive species is another one. So you guys, this is there's non-science being applied in both situations that they're trying to cover as science, which I fully do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin is saying it's climate change
affecting the food
affecting the babies. There's not enough zooplankton.
Yeah.
Well, that never came into anything that we're talking about at Mille Lacs, which is one of the biggest walleye producing lakes in the country. So, hey, for Ava and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for hanging out with us. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy.